listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Always good to be here on a Monday here on Straight Out of Vegas, RJ. And we start, yes, in the NFL, but the news is not good out of Cincinnati as their all-pro wide receiver, A.J. Green, went down with an injury at camp over the weekend. He suffered the injury on Saturday, although there were positive reports of an ankle sprain early on. The official report came out after he got his MRI, and he's got torn ligaments, and he'll be out for 6 to 8 weeks. Those are the reports out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, and A.J. Green is a player. It'd be easy to say, oh, he's a stats guy. It'd be easy to say, oh, his intangibles, locker room type stuff, not great. But Fezzik, again, NFL expert, it wasn't that long ago. At his pinnacle, A.J. Green, in your rankings of the most valuable players in the NFL, and we break that up into quarterbacks and non-quarterbacks, in your rankings, A.J. Green, a couple years ago, was where?
He was in the top five, just barely, RJ.
Okay. Now, I think you might want to dig a little deeper in your memory, because if someone went to YouTube and they did a search for A.J. Green, pregame.com, they're going to find a video in which you said, do you remember this now?
That A.J. Green was the most important wide receiver to the point spread.
Okay. So my question is, and I think you're actually underselling it again. At the time, what you said was A.J. Green was the most valuable non-quarterback in the NFL. So far, Jonas, I hear you chuckling properly in the background. We went from, oh, he was just in the top five, to, oh, he was just the number one receiver, to, oh, he was the most valuable non-quarterback in the NFL. Now, are you purposely, Steve Fezzik, deceiving the listening audience?
No, not at all. And what happened was that the Bengals were so weak at wide receiver.
Wait. So now you're admitting what you didn't say just a second ago, and now you're going to try to explain it. But let's understand to start with, all with a smile on our face, let's understand, why did you mislead?
I did not intend to mislead.
So you didn't remember properly?
I did not recall.
Oh, remember that now. When there's like a mob trial, and it's like, were you there on such a... Not to my current recollection. You know, they have like a specific legal way to say it. All right, so let's agree to this. A.J. Green, I'm not saying, first of all you can do as a sports fan, as a sports bettor, is any moment is based on the current information that you have, that exists. The best you can do is assess things now. If you said, hey, amongst the second-year quarterbacks, meaning last year's rookies, if you could have 10% of someone's salary, which is kind of a proxy to say how well that you think they're going to do in their career, I think most people would say Baker Mayfield, right? I mean, is that even a debate? Now,
Clearly. If
Baker Mayfield has some horrible injury, and also we find out that he's got some type of other ailment, we won't even be specific because there's no reason to, all of a sudden now, would you be foolish to have said what you're saying now entering the season, that, hey, he probably has the best career, Baker Mayfield ahead of him, amongst all the second-year quarterbacks? No, but with new information, if you have a pair of kings and the board comes out 7-3-2, you're feeling pretty good. If the turn comes an ace, now you don't feel so good, but you weren't stupid to feel good before. So at the time, you felt like A.J. Green was so valuable, and you were starting to get to it in the excuse because relative, as you stepped down from him years ago, Andy Dalton had, like, no weapons.
Yeah, because the Bengals drafted John Ross, the speedster out of Washington, and he never panned out to be nearly as good as expected. So bottom line is the Bengals were hurting at number two wide receiver.
And Eifert in and out and such at the time. Okay, so the first question is, for the early part of this upcoming season, how valuable is A.J. Green with two considerations? His absence, clearly, in this case. One, that he's been trending down, it would seem. How much of that is injury, availability? How much of that is age? So how good is A.J. Green in a vacuum, healthy now versus healthy 3 years ago? And number two, how's the supporting cast for the Bengals been?
Yeah, so A.J. Green at age 30, coming off an injury year last year where he was out with a toe injury. I have him not as a top 10 wide receiver, but certainly in the top 20, he's worth half a point to the line, RJ.
Okay, so much less valuable, but still moves it. So if you had to, in 20 seconds, make a case or comment upon the Bengals and how the Bengals are at the skill positions other than Green.
Yeah, so really good when Green was healthy because Tyler Boyd is a solid other number one wide receiver. Eifert,
you know. What's that mean, other number one? Does that mean like he's better than a typical number two?
Yes.
Okay, so A.J. Green's better than a typical number one.
Yes.
So this is one of the best, I mean, when healthy, one of the best receiving corps the Bengals in the league?
When Tyler Eifert, a tight end, is healthy also, absolutely.
Well, but yeah, but now, but if it was just having an above average number one and a significantly above average number two, as you just laid it out, just those two wide receiver positions, how many duos are going to be better than that?
Boy,
I mean, I'm not asking for the list, but not many.
Not many.
So you're saying literally a top five or seven duo of wide receivers in the NFL, the Bengals, with A.J. Green healthy?
Yes.
Okay. Now he's out. Two becomes one. Three becomes two. Obviously weakened, but not near as thin as they were years ago.
Well, the problem is they're really thin after those top two wide receivers. John Ross is still their number three wide receiver.
Yeah, but let's be candid. Who's got a good number three? Right? Okay, so who else? Do the Rams really have that good of a number three receiver? Because it seems like when Kupp was out, that became the biggest excuse ever why the Rams weren't playing well.
Well, he was their number three, yeah.
So once again, if you lose your third best receiver on a team, it can't mean that much, can it?
It shouldn't.
So all right, maybe the Rams, but we're saying most teams don't have a really good number three receiver.
Correct.
So the Bengals, it would seem, went from being one of the better receiving corps to obviously weakened with A.J. Green out, but not as if, oh my gosh, they're in huge trouble.
Correct, but they have other problems. They lost two offensive linemen as well, RJ.
Which is unrelated.
Unrelated.
But if we're looking at the team in general, entering the Bengals season, the theory was the receiving core is excellent, counting the tight end. Line has dropped off.
Correct. And there was tons of optimism for the Bengals. We thought that line was going to get better and Eifert was going to be healthy again. A.J. Green was going to be healthy. And I, frankly, was going to bet on the Bengals. And now, bad news with A.J. Green. And just this past week, two linemen go down. Problems for the Bengals.
So the linemen, they were fine a couple weeks ago. The injuries happened recently.
Yeah, their number one draft pick, Jonah Williams, went down, torn labrum for the year. And then unexpectedly, they're starting left guard Bowling. He's been a starter for 6 years. He retired, RJ. Not good.
Yeah, you got to wonder how. And again, this is interesting. I think obviously as a macro point throughout the next couple years, if you look at the number of people in the last few years that's retired, maybe you would say in the prime of their NFL careers, out of health concerns, and the health concerns often, and I'm not sure exactly in this case, but again, if you've got, I'm assuming his contract was for multiple millions of dollars. If you're 27 years old, I'm just doing the simple math, and you say, oh no, I'm going to go do X instead of make millions and millions of dollars, there's got to be a big reason.
Probably not a team that's poised for a championship run, right?
This is RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And also, not to pour more salt into the wound of Steve Fezzik, longtime Cincinnati Bengal fan, but John Ross, your guy Fez, just came out a couple hours ago. He's going to miss the next couple of weeks with a hamstring issue. So,
yeah. So the question is, how important? Because it seems paradoxical. On one hand, and think about this, guys. We haven't discussed this yet, And to be honest with you, this is something I consider to be probably the most under-discussed part of the NFL in 2019.
Here's a theory for you to disregard completely.
Or not, and here it is. On one hand, you're saying, oh, let's play 18 regular season games. Let's add two. But let's take two preseason games away. So the implication being, oh, the preseason is bloated. It's longer than it needs to be. And thus are ready to go sooner. On the other hand, you've probably heard it in the media discussed. I'm not sure if you read some of the original stuff. Go through and look up Bill Belichick, Patriots, September. Just that concept. And what you're going to find is Belichick talking and others that know Belichick talking at length about he believes because of the contract that's no longer the new contract with the players' union and that agreement with the NFL, that the decrease in hitting, the decrease in time in the offseason, all the things that were player-friendly in that last deal made it difficult to prepare a team in the NFL in this day and age to be ready early in the year. So coaches have two decisions, right? Or a decision to make, left or right. One is, hey, just deal with that. Come into September, come into game one, figuring everyone else is in the same kind of limited boat, because unless you're breaking the rules, you've got the same time as any other team. Or what Belichick has talked about is he's willing in September to make it like an extended training camp, an extended preseason, whereas he might have a game, he's making a decision week two that decreases the chance of winning in week two, but he thinks it, and Belichick thinks that it's probably true, it increases the chance, that decision, of winning in January, right? It's kind of like, let's develop this team because we can have a loss or two early. And if you look at the Patriots' record in September, last since that agreement with the union, versus his record later in the year, it is markedly different. How many times have the Patriots started and we've said, yep, this is the year. Brady's finally too old.
It's over. Look at how the Titans just pounded them.
I mean, how many years ago, Jonas, you might remember this better, was that Monday night game?
The Chiefs. And Jimmy Garoppolo came in. And that was the year they went and won the Super Bowl. They beat Seattle.
One of the years. It wasn't the most recent year they won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So how, explain this to me, and I still don't have a handle on it, so I won't even try. How can we say, well, the preseason's too long and bloated? On the other hand, we don't have time to get ready. So the reason I bring that up is if you have a guy who's going to be injured somewhat through training camp, you could say, ah, he's ready for week one. Or you could say some of the fundamental things that you need to be ready for week one are hard to do even now if you're healthy. If you're not healthy, how does it hurt you? I'm not sure of the answer to that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, the big story at NFL training camp is the whereabouts of Ezekiel Elliott. He is not in Oxnard with the Dallas Cowboys. And a report from 105.3 The Fan in Dallas says that Zeke is heading to Mexico to train just like he did during his six-game suspension a couple of years ago.
First off, a couple thoughts on Mexico and this concept. One, I think it's brilliant. Brilliant. And I would be so fascinated to find out whose idea this was, that Zeke is not going to be in Dallas. Because in our minds, we can only think of like very simple concepts at the, let's say, conscious level. Whereas you can say, okay, I want to use my upper brain to calculate 7 times 7 divided by 2 plus 3. Yeah, you can do that. But that's not something that's instant. It's not something that's wired deep. Well, when we have a feeling about somebody, I'm just going to name somebody right now, all right? I don't even know who I'm going to name yet, and then I'm going to come up with the idea. Okay, Britney Spears. Everyone had an instant flash. It could have been that Rolling Stone cover that Fez, you had blown up. It was really weird. You were like 40-some. Remember you had it? Yes.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
It could be her laying back, getting that tattoo with her head shape. Whatever it is, marketing experts talk about you can own mind space, but it's only a little bit, right? A little bit. And if we think about as fans, and the fans that really matter are the Cowboys fans, right? Because to some degree, this is going to be a war of attrition if it continues between the resolve of Jerry Jones and his mortality, his thought that now's the time to win a title this year, next year, maybe the year after that, right? Those are the years because they've got some good defensive guys that need paid. You can't pay everyone, right? Just think of it like an auction when you're doing fantasy. Yeah, you'd love to have that good tight end, the best tight end, but how much more than his value does he cost, et cetera? Zeke is one of the best running backs in the NFL, if not the best. And if you look at the other players that need to be paid on the Cowboys in the next few years, some of them are among the best. Now, I'm not sure. In fact, I know you can't have all of those elite players. You got to pick and choose. Is Zeke going to be one of them paid or not? But the brilliant part to me is the mind space right now, if we think holdout, we think he's hanging out in some luxury condo, Zeke, maybe within 3 minutes drive with a car standing by, and maybe he sneaks into the facility at night to lift weights. So, he's really here, but the games haven't started yet. We're fine. But if he's in another country, now it's like, wait a minute, he's far. Like, that's as simple as our mind thinks. He's far. Zeke's not close. Now, here's where the mistake was, in my opinion. The mistake was, and let's think about Mexico. What's your mind thought there? I'm thinking about Coronas, beaches, bikinis, right? If a rich guy from America's heading to Mexico. But then let's think about some other times that people have gone, let's say training even. They've gone to another country. And let's turn it up. Remember Rocky IV.
He is like iron.
I mean, exactly. We're thinking. And let's listen in for a sec. Now that sounds like he's training, right?
He's got like the wood beam up on his shoulders and he's going crazy.
And to me, imagine if Zeke went to Russia and somehow said, I'm going to the same facility or area that Rocky trained. Now the mind space is, holy cow, he's not only gone, he's not only far, he's getting ready, thus he's getting more valuable. So that's my thought. Brilliant on one hand.
I like it.
On the other hand, probably the instant thought in our heads of the rich guy in Mexico is not getting him ready for the season. So what I like to do, I'm RJ Bell straight out of Vegas. What I like to do is ask ourselves, whatever our first instinct is, when are the exceptions to that? When isn't that correct? Because we're going to always have our first instinct. So my first instinct is a deal is a deal. You sign a contract, a deal is a deal. Now, Zeke has 2 years left that the Cowboys control his rights. All right? That fifth year is a team option. That means a deal is a deal. The question isn't, ethically, what should you do? This isn't like, teach your kids kind of thing, though that is interesting. If the kids growing up today see that contracts don't seem to matter, I don't think that'd be a good lesson. But let's not worry about that for a second. Let's talk about why maybe we should have more empathy for Zeke than I would typically as a guy who thinks a deal is a deal. And I think, Jonas, and you've talked about this so well, the quarterback reality in Dallas speaks to that.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, he's got an odd sort of leverage because it's not Melvin Gordon to where the Chargers can look at Melvin Gordon and say, hey, man, we love you, but we trust our quarterback here. Unequivocally, we know he's our franchise quarterback. If Dallas has got any reservations about Dak Prescott, and a lot of people feel like they should, Zeke looks at that and realizes, without me, they're not the same football team, and it's because of the the quarterback position. And so because of that, he's got a weird kind of leverage based on who his teammate is playing that position.
So it almost speaks, I think, very well said, in a great concept, is value is relative in the NFL. It's relative to how much money you're being paid, because that's a percentage of the overall amount you can spend on all players. Who wouldn't want Zeke? How many, like, even if you somehow think Le'Veon Bell is better than him, well, wouldn't the Jets love to have Zeke as the number two back? Imagine that. Well, yeah, but you're not going to have a kicker in that case or whatever it is. Or more than that, you might not have a left tackle. So the fact of the matter is, you got to decide its value. If this guy's worth X and I can get him for 0.9X less, great deal. And if you really think about it, that's the only way to assess the value or the quality of any team, is if you simply define, if a supercomputer was able to define what's average at each position and with each of your players, how far above and below that the player would be, you sum up those differentials, and that's how much better than average the team is, right?
Absolutely.
Now, you also would need to take into account, well, how good are they in this system? Because some guys might be great in one system, not in the other. But if it's a supercomputer, so it's going to be able to do it. So the question isn't, is Zeke any good? The question is, how good is he relative to how much he wants to get paid? And that's the question. Though Jerry Jones, and we talked about it last week, has already said he thinks the basement, the lowest deal he would offer Zeke is better than the Gurley deal. The Gurley deal was signed just about a year ago, and it was the biggest deal in the history of the NFL for running backs. So if you walk into the negotiation, if you're Jerry Jones, and you say, well, listen, it's rare to sign a player 2 years ahead of time. Rare to re-sign. Give him a new contract. But we're going to. And you know what else? We're going to make you the highest paid running back ever. If that's not enough, now the question becomes, if it's to the point of saying, okay, I'm coming to camp, I want this baby negotiated by the start of the preseason game 3, or I'm going to have to leave again, or something, I might go to Russia even. If something like that was Zeke's response, I could almost, in fact, I would say, wow, okay, I can see that. But if the Jerry Jones reports are true, man, it seems like Zeke's setting the bar high.
And then Jerry Jones was quoted as saying earlier today, you don't have to have a rushing champion to win a Super Bowl. So they're trying to win almost like the PR battle against Zeke and gain leverage publicly.
And if only Zeke were in Russia, it'd be like checkmate.
But right, right.
Fez?
Well, you don't have to have a rushing leader, but you do need to have guys that can gain any yardage. The backup running backs for the Cowboys, numbers 2, 3, and 4 guys last year, 16 yards rushing. That's it. There's nothing behind Zeke right now.
Yeah, and we talked about this last week. It's one thing, and obviously Zeke entering his rookie year had 0 yards rushing, right?
Sure.
So the question is, if it's a rookie, and that's one of them, right?
Two rookies, one from Memphis, 4th rounder, one from Ohio State, 7th rounder.
Okay, and then the next question becomes pedigree, as in, is this a guy we expect to really do well? And history would say just on the round, not so much.
Right.
Now, Colin talked about this today. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas, which was, and my first thought was, come on, Colin, goofy. But then I thought about it, and I said, you know, he's got a point. He didn't say it explicitly, but let's follow this. He said, look, Zeke might be asking for too much money. But Colin also said, these are the guys you pay. These are the guys you pay, and because it's one of the best. It's such a big brand name. And I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. If you pay Zeke, that means you can't have quite as good left tackle or rush linebacker, or it's just back to there's a finite amount of money. And maybe the best analogy is you know, win some award at your office, they give you $100 in cash and drive you to Walmart and they say, get whatever you want, bring us the change and bring us the receipt. Now, Fez, you're going to spend hours trying to get to exactly 100.
99.99.
Yeah, there might be a bunch of penny candies in there, you know? But you're going to get to the 100. But forgetting that for a second, you're going to look and say, oh, I wouldn't mind having a backup DVD player. Or, I got a Fire Stick, but what about a Roku? But now the question is, yeah, you'd rather have it for free, but would you rather have that for $29 or something else? So it's an either or oftentimes in the NFL. So yes, you want Zeke, but once again, just because he's got a big name, I'm not sure that's the reason to pay him overly when it will hurt the rest of your team. But here's where I think if you just extend Colin's argument a little, it makes a ton of sense. How bold is any linebacker, unless they're somehow famous? I mean, who was the last famous? I guess Mack, you could say, is a little famous, right, for the Bears now. But, there's not many famous linebackers.
And they're all like edge rushers as well. They're hybrid guys.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is even amongst the hybrid guys, who's famous to the point that if he walked in here with five other guys his size, that you're going to exactly know who Mack is. So you don't even know. Quite frankly, you're saying, oh, the edge rushers are famous, but I couldn't recognize them. So that's not famous, right?
Right.
Now, to me, it's the fact that paying a guy like Zeke 2 years early is because he has the leverage of celebrity. And that, quite frankly, if we went and got a comprehensive list right now of all of the holdouts in the NFL, how many are there? There's more than the couple we've been talking about, but they just don't have the celebrity to be discussed. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean on the field? Nothing. Meaning if they are a good player that should be on the field and the team doesn't pay them, they're going to lose that player's contribution on the field, no doubt. But the PR battle, the battle with the fans, that's something that only with fame does it lead the nightly sports shows and thus puts leverage or gives leverage to Zeke. So in a weird way, you benefit as a team, the Cowboys, by having famous players because that helps your ratings. You know, that's what OBJ talked about. Yeah, I didn't help you win all that much, wink, wink. Meaning he never said that, but we're all thinking it to Eli. But why do you think you're on Sunday Night Football even though you lost last year? Well, first of all, we lost last year. And number two, it's because, yeah, we're the Giants, yeah, but also because you're famous. You made that one-handed catch, and all of a sudden your leverage went up. Did that one-handed catch make OBJ any better? No, it's a sign of how good he was in a way, but it made him much more famous.
Brand
value that gives him leverage. So in a weird way, teams gain from fame of their players. But if it's a contract dispute, that fame is on the player's side. It's his advantage. Whereas Zeke has it, a linebacker holding out doesn't.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.